Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So if this person says, I've fallen out of love with them, what happened that got you to that point? Because if you don't identify that, I don't know how you will fall back in love with them.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Relationship Theory. Today is gonna be juicy. This will be interesting. I think this is completely, my answer is gonna be so short and sweet, but Lisa's might scare me. So here we go.
All right, let's do it.
Let's hear it.
In a long marriage like yours, is it normal to fall in and out of love throughout the relationship? And have you ever disliked each other for a period of time but still decided to stay together and eventually got over it?
No. I mean, that is literally, and I'm so curious to hear your answer. No pressure. I think that it is normal for people to do that. I don't advise it. And I think it's completely avoidable. And certainly on my side of the equation, I have done that work. I have never once, I've been annoyed with you. I've been pissed off. You've made me furiously angry, but always like very acute, where it's like we're arguing about something, but never was it in my mind like, oh, this bitch, like I can't even be in this anymore.
And the thing is, my answer is very simple and easy. No, but we've worked so hard to be here, and we've worked, so that's why I was like, this isn't a easy, no, and next question. It is so hard, and we've spoken many, many times about dust settling, about how people hold grudges, that something happened that they thought they could let go of, but then they weren't able to. That starts to fester, the fester starts to turn into potential hatred.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
So that's how to avoid it. But the person asking this, if I had to guess, has fallen in and out of love, been frustrated, been angry, and decided to stay together.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are they okay? Are they gonna make it?
So there's a lot of words that to me, there's a very fine line. And this is why, like, I know you're like, just answer the question, but there is a fine line.
I'm just imagining this person biting their fingernails right now. Like, they need to know.
But bear with me.
Yep.
There's the line between, I'm pissed off with you.
Yep.
You know, have I ever, though, said, I hate you? No. So being annoyed with someone, hating what they do, is very different than hating the person. Being frustrated, being annoyed with them, being mad at them, being upset with them, is very different than not liking them. Like, so that's why, even with the language, I wanna make sure that they're using actually the right ones that align with how they feel. Because if it is, I do not like this person, that is exactly what you said to me. It's not that I don't think you can overcome it. I think that with therapy, there's always a chance to do everything you possibly can to overcome the problem in your relationship. But it is a fucking red flag. And the second you think to yourself, I don't like this person, that needs to be a warning sign to say, I need to address this. I need to either talk to them about it, go seek therapy, identify what it is about this thing that I don't like and why all of a sudden or why now, what has happened. Because the one thing that, you know, it never fucking happens overnight. You never just bloody blink and wake up and all of a sudden you feel a certain way about the person. So if this person says, I've fallen out of love with them, what happened that got you to that point? Because if you don't identify that, I don't know how you will fall back in love with them. I'm not even saying it couldn't work. Like, I don't see how, or in fact, no, it's not that I don't see how. I've never experienced it because we've never gotten to that point. But we've been very aware that that point exists and very aware that we have put in things in our relationship to make sure we don't get to that point. That means communication, being honest, saying the hard thing, telling the person, right, when you've said it so many times where you're like, babe, I could have easily ended this argument by just telling you exactly what I know you want to hear and we could move on. But you didn't, because you know that the long run is more, in the long term, it's way more important for us to be connected to never get to the point where I no longer like you or you no longer like me. And in order to do that, you have to say the hard thing. You have to say the things that no one wants to hear. You have to communicate.
You have to have sex. You have to take time love each other and not become roommates. Okay, so to the person that wrote that question, I'm gonna say this, you're gonna make it. You're gonna be okay. I just wanna give a little bit of optimism right now. It is going to require work. You have to be very thoughtful. And I'm only going to say you're going to make it if you want to make it. Because the first question that I have is, why are you working this hard to stay in a relationship that where you don't like the person? So you know my default answer has always been like, hey, what are we doing? Relationships should be amazing. They should be value add. And the only time where I think people get themselves in these weird twists is if they believe, like so many emotionally abusive people will tell you, that you'll never find anybody who loves me, who loves you the way that I do. That's a lie. So let's never buy into that.
I was told that by my boyfriend before you.
I still, until you told me that, can't believe that non-mustache twirling villains in movies actually say things like that. That's
oh,
so crazy.
Yeah, they do.
So there's that, like, are you in an emotionally abusive relationship where they're trying to convince you that you could never find somebody? You can. And P.S., for me, being alone, and I get it, I'm wired a certain way, but for me, being alone with a dog, I would have a dog, because admittedly, truly being alone is not good for the human animal. I would have a dog, but I would rather be alone with a dog than to be in a relationship that wasn't awesome. There's too many compromises really fast, because there's another one, which is kids. And I think that most people end up staying together for the kids. And as somebody who's the beneficiary of that, like literally 3 weeks after I left for college, my dad left. So it was like TikTok. He was watching a clock. Now, that ended up being awesome for me, because my whole life, hey, I had two parents that were together. They never fought in front of us. So there was no sense of like that there was any drama. I had no idea. That was awesome, but it is not a gift I would be prepared to give to my kids. Oh God, that's terrible. But this is partly why I don't have kids. So once we get on the other side of why are we trying to stay together, you have something to say?
I just want
to,
yeah, before we go to the other side, I want to address the things that you just said. So the kids thing, I totally agree.
What do you agree with? Because I'm not even sure what my stance is. You agree that it's a thing, or that they should or shouldn't?
Oh, right. So I agree that that's a thing, but I actually disagree with you. And this is where our backgrounds come into action. My parents divorced when I was like 8 years old. And they had, as much as you can possibly have a beautiful divorce, they had a beautiful divorce. They never used
facts.
They never freaking used us against each other. They never fought over money, because they always put their kids
never
first.
Never talk badly about each other.
Never.
I mean, I am literally blown away. They are the blueprint for how to divorce well.
Yes, because they always put us first. It wasn't
but like
they
in
didn't
a real way. I don't want to derail on that, but I'm very impressed.
Yes, thank you. But the point being is, you say, oh my God, I'm so glad because I had no idea and I lived a great childhood and my parents were together. And, you know, when I was an adult, I left and it didn't impact me. But I come from the other stance, whereas like I got to see my parents be extremely happy without each other. And I'm glad that they split so that they could find the life that they wanted, that then showed me what it was like to have a life that is exciting versus being in a relationship where you're just doing it for the kids. Like, I wouldn't want that. I would never have wanted my parents to have stayed together for me, but that doesn't mean that everyone does. So it's very difficult, but I think it's important. And this is the kind of encompassing of everything that you just said, in just being honest to identify why it is that you're staying. And everything that we always say with each other in our business and our relationship, no freaking judgment. Like, but you must identify why it is that you're staying in that relationship. Is it financial? Is it because I don't want to be alone? Is it because I'm hoping that I can get onto the other side of this? Is it because, you know, for whatever reason, like whatever that reason is, just beautifully own it, so then you can see with your eyes wide open the decision then you're going to make. Because if your decision is, I'm staying for the kids, and you say, okay, I've admitted it, and it's actually still the right thing. Now at least you know why you're in a relationship very specifically. And I like, personally, I like to have a North Star like that to know why I'm doing things, so that when shit hits the fan, when times get tough, when I'm not enjoying life, I go back to, I made this decision with my eyes wide open. And so I chose to stay in this marriage, in this relationship, because of X, Y, and Z reason.
And I can always make a different choice, which I think is important to remind people. So my thesis on relationships looks like this. Relationships should give you far more than they take. And if your relationship isn't giving you far more than it takes, then you need to ask a couple of really simple questions. What am I doing that I could change that would give me the result that I want? So own it first, right? Because relationships don't just magically give you more than they take. You have to really, really tend that garden. But if you tend that garden, it will bear fruit and vegetables, all kinds of amazing things. But you must be diligent. And as I say, the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. The cost of love is eternal vigilance. Like, you must be on that forever. You cannot take it granted, not for a minute. So if we have a reason to stay in the relationship, I don't think anybody should be worried about whether, like, they've, you know, come in and out. That's a narrative thing, right? So if you've sort of fallen in and out of love with the other person, but you want to make it work, then the narrative is, we're so committed to this, right? One of the four words that I tattooed on my arm in reference to our marriage is commitment. And commitment to me is that there are going to be times where it's hard, and there isn't that, you know, because the other, like, love, passion, trust. And commitment's like, that's the workhorse. And so you have to really understand that there's a workhorse in here, and you've got to put in that work. And so I would frame my narrative, if we had had rocky roads, I would frame my narrative around that. Like, hey, we're so committed to this relationship that we've made it work. This hasn't been easy, but we've done the things, and we get the rewards, and it's amazing. And, like, this is better than for those people like Tom and Lisa, for, you know, it's just always been. Like, we've really had to struggle. And so I would use that narrative to galvanize the relationship. Conversely, if I'm at the beginning of the relationship and we haven't had those difficulties yet, I would commit and say, we're going to make sure that we steer by that, that we never let that be the case. And so we're going to do the work. And, like, when you really don't want to be honest and you could just end the argument, oh God, just sweep a little bit under the rug, and you don't, because you don't want, you alluded to this earlier, you don't want the dust to settle, as we call it. You know, you can have a perfectly beautiful mahogany table hiding under 6 feet of dust. And the key is to, when that first little bit of dust lands, you don't just go, well, it's a tiny bit of dust. Nope. Every speck of dust must be cleaned off in real time so that you don't end up losing sight of that beautiful mahogany table under 6 feet of dust.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to add one more thing. Please. I don't want to generalize, but at least for me, this was something that I had to kind of get over, is just being honest and asking for what I want in a relationship. And the small, silly example that I use, but it really is so, it, like, it's so revealing. We went on our honeymoon, we're in Rome, beautiful. We go to Venice, romantic, we're in Rome, it's Italy. What do you have? Fresh pasta. And it's like every single night I just said, oh, babe, where do you want to go for dinner? You're like, Hard Rock Cafe. Because especially back then, your palate was very...
fan. Not a pasta fan.
But also back then, your palate was very limited. It was very. French fries and chicken nuggets.
Yeah, let's not knock French fries and chicken nuggets for the record, but yes.
So... every night in Rome, on our honeymoon, I just say, oh, babe, boy, do you want to go for dinner? Hard Rock, okay, great. So by, like, the last night, I'm like, I know if I ask him, he's just going to say Hard Rock again. And so instead of just saying, this is what I want, I remember turning to him, babe, please, can we just go somewhere? I just want Italian food. And you just looked at me and you're like, babe, if you want freaking Italian food, just say you want to go somewhere else. But every day you just kept asking me what I wanted. And so I told you what I wanted.
Right.
And so it was so revealing to be like, in my head, I was like, God, for heaven's sake. But I was doing it all to myself. I was the one just asking you and not asking myself. I was the one that wasn't telling you what I wanted. And so that tiny little thing in regards to this is making sure, if you are a person like me who didn't realize how much of an impact that was, that can be very big in trying to reconnect with a partner, in being honest with actually what you want.
So you and I play a game, and that game is called?
Selfish Desires.
Selfish Desires. What do you want?
Every Saturday.
Well, I mean, that's just the way that it manifests now. We do it all the time. Like, the thing is, now we've been together for so long, we're so good at being like, this is what I want. But what you have to, so part of the, I think, issue for us has been, I'm very decisive. And in the beginning, you were very indecisive. And so it was this constant.
And a people pleaser.
Yes.
Trying to please you.
Yes. And so, and I'm a people pleaser as well. I'm just not afraid to make a decision. But you end up spiraling into this, like, I'm trying to guess what you want, you're trying to guess what I want, instead of us both just saying, this is what I want. And now, that doesn't mean we're going to do what I want. Doesn't mean we're going to do what you want. It means now we understand what the other person wants, and we can find something that works for both of us.
And that is so perfect to be able to use in this situation where you literally, as a couple, if you've felt like you've fallen in and out of love, is this relationship work it? Sit down and just say, I'm committed to this relationship. From this day on, I'm going to work on it every single day. And it's going to be important to me, and I'm going to make the effort. Is that the same goal? Like, do you want a successful relationship with me? Because once you agree on the goal, if you know, like we kind of say, like, pinky swear, it's like, all right, if we've both agreed, we're going to live together in love for the rest of our fucking lives, to the day we take our dying breath. Okay, we both agreed on that. And now it's, how do we do that? Like, what does that actually mean? What does that look like for us? Because our goal is the same.
Preach, homie. Being married to you is rad. Not gonna lie. All right, everybody. I hope that that helps. I hope you understand that there are different ways that you can navigate this, whether you've fallen in and out, whether you're refining each other, or whether you just want to avoid that forever. You still have a chance to make it. And it really just comes down to working on the relationship. Never hesitate to seek therapy if that's what you need. And something we didn't cover is contempt is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It predicts divorce with a 95% accuracy rate. So don't allow yourself to get contemptuous of your partner. It's hard to back out from. All right, speaking of things you should never do, don't not subscribe. Make sure you subscribe right now to Relationship Theory. We're in here dropping bombs all the time. So until next time, my friends, work on building a beautiful relationship. Take care. Peace.